blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 324, stanzas 2, 3, and 4. Teach me to know thy holy way, and think upon thy deeds. In grief I ask for promised grace according to my needs. 2, 3, and 4 of 324.
Scripture reading for this evening hour can be found in the book of the Psalms, and there of Psalm 25. Psalm 25, a psalm of David. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn thee unto me, and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they that hate me with cruel hatred. O keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, when we may be together in this evening hour, in an hour of reflection upon what thou hast given in this day, especially under thy word and thy sacrament, for it is always a solemn occasion, and thou knowest all that lives within the heart and all that comes out out in our life and that is appearing before men. And then there is also that which does not appear before men. That is that which is secret. Thou knowest the secrets of the heart of each and every one of us in this evening hour. And whether we may be here or in our homes. And thou knowest that for many it is so difficult to come up another time. But wilt thou remember them also in the places where they are with their children, and that thou may bless us out of thy heavenly store, and to give yet in a blessing in this evening of reflection, and that thou wouldest remember those that have riddles, those whose questions are not yet answered, those who have no solution to all that lives within. And that way can be so long. We can hear that also out of the mouth of thy servant, out of thy holy word, when he did say, "How long, O Lord?" And thou knowest how long that some do pray, that some do lay before thee, and it yet pleaseth thee not to give an answer. And there can be such discouragement. And Lord, that thou may yet remember them in this evening hour, for thou art always a surprising God. And thou dost take away an empty in order that thou mayest fill. And we need to be emptied, for we are so full of ourselves, and we are so full of sin, and we are so full of vanity. O Lord, our own righteousness, and it all needs to be taken away. O thou knowest that we are all cut out of the same cloth, and we are all the sons and daughters of Adam. There is no difference between any one of us from our side. And we are all corrupt, thy word to say. And we have all gone out of the way. And we have turned everyone to his wicked and his evil way. And then there is not one of us that is not named therein. But thou dost make a difference, O Lord, by thy grace. Oh, that thou may include each and every one of us in thy mercy, that thou may give that our hearts may be wrought upon, for the first time, if it has never taken place in our life, oh, that we may be given tears to weep, missing thee, that we may have our eyes opened, that we may have our hearts touched, and that we may be brought in our inner chamber, that we may be made to beseech and to cry and to long and to pant, as the harp panted for the water brooks, and that we may become one with thy true church, and that that supplication may be answered by thee, that it is always in thy time, and we are always in a hurry, but thou always doth a thorough work. Thou wilt take everything away, and thou wilt bring us to the bottom. Thou wilt show unto us what we truly are, and thou wilt show unto us what we deserve, and that thou mayest reveal thy great goodness and thy great grace for a wretched and a miserable sinner. Oh, that that may be experienced by young and old, that thou may remember all thy people. We don't know all of them. We don't know where they all are, because it is a secret work that thou doest in the heart of a man, and that is not immediately evident in this world. But thou knowest where they are, O Lord, and thou knowest the smallest one, and thou knowest what they stand in need of also. Thou who hast promised to put thy words in our mouth, would it please thee in this evening so to do, that thou may give that we, not knowing, even to shoot an arrow into the air, and thou art able to bring it where that it must come, between the joints of the harness. O Lord, do so in this evening hour. We don't deserve it, but wilt thou take reasons out of thyself to look upon each and every one of us in thy mercy. O, when there is a hungering and a thirsting, that thou may yet fill it with thyself. Thou sayest, the meek shall eat and shall be satisfied. Oh, that it may be experienced, Lord, even by those that have become old under thy truth, and thou knowest how discouraged that they can become, because life flies away, and the time becomes ever shorter, and the young can die, but the old must die, and that day is seen approaching, and the fears can be increasing, and the cry, O Lord, give it to come up unto thee, the Lord of Sabaoth, who is even able to take an old sinner that is firm in his ways of sin, in the ways of the carnal things of this world, and thou art able to give a new life and a new heart. Oh, shall a man be born when he is old? Lord, he can be born when he is old. Thou can give it, and wilt thou do it for thy name's sake. Remember the sick and the afflicted, and then it is a trial that thou bringest upon them, but that it may be also blessed, that it also may bring home to the heart that message that we cannot give unto ourselves, and that it may be used for the good of the soul, that thou may remember the children a third time, as some may gather with us in this evening, give them the ability to sit and to hear. Give them also an ear to hear when they are young. Oh, that their young hearts may be taken over by thee, that they may be drawn by thee in the days of their youth, that they may learn to love thee with all their heart, with all their might, and with all their strength. And that thou may give them one day teeth, that they also may eat of that bread and drink of that blood. Lord, that thou may remember us in all the needs and the cares of the time and for eternity. Be with us for a short while in this evening, around about thy holy word of truth once again. Strengthen us for our labor. Give thy presence nearness, and wilt thou be with us undeservedly, forgiving all of our many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 51, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Amid the thronging worshippers, Jehovah will I bless. Before my brethren gathered there, his name will I confess. And what follows in all three stanzas of Psalter number 51. Beloved congregation, it is our custom to gather for an hour of reflection after the commemoration of the Holy Supper of the Lord. What does it mean to reflect? When you look in a mirror, and then your image is cast back at you. That is the meaning of the word reflect. That there is a casting back, that there is a looking back that is in consideration of things that have taken place before. The Holy Supper is an especially solemn commemoration that is not only for those who partake, but it is also for the whole congregation, especially for the professing members of the church. Why? Because there is a confession. A confession that is made by each and every one of us. What is then that confession that we have made in this afternoon hour? It is a very solemn thing to confess before everyone that there is no one so evil in their heart as I am. That is a solemn thing, to confess and that the Lord has given to me a hope of grace that is in His only begotten Son, to confess that I desire to walk uprightly before Him. Solemn thing. But it is also a solemn thing to confess that I do not feel any of these things in my heart. And now the Lord's Supper that is placing these things directly before us, directly before our eyes, that we are not able to escape. Making one confession or the other. But our question this evening is this. How easily are we able to go on when we may have made such a confession that I do not feel such things, such blessed things, such necessary things, I do not feel them in my heart. How easily are we able to continue on with such a confession? Is that to us a matter of grief? A matter of sorrow? Is that a burden that lives upon us? Or can we just easily go on in our life? There is a great difference between those two. That is, whether we can easily go on or whether this matter is to us a burden, a concern. Because there is no concern in the dead. That is something that belongs to life. It is true that there is a certain concern that can live in the heart of a hypocrite. But certainly when we have no concern for these things in our heart, then we must say that there is death. What is one of the greatest concerns that lives in the heart of God's church that is about hardness. It is about deadness. We say feeling deadness. That is a living complaint in the heart of God's children. Say that is a mystery, that is so. But if it is so, the Lord will know about it. He will know about it from you. Thus reflection that is not an end in itself. But reflection has to do with the future. It has to do with the resolve that lives in our heart. Thus, if we are missing what we cannot miss, do we then have a resolve, a desire that we may seek and that we may obtain what we cannot miss while it is still called today? And if we may make a profession of these things, is there a renewing of that vow in our heart? One of God's people after the Lord's Supper said to the minister, I've signed up again. I've signed up again. Oh, then there was a renewal, and she desired that she may now live without sin. Our text for this evening can be found in the Song of Solomon, the 4th chapter, the 2nd part of the 3rd verse. So Song of Solomon 4, verse 3b. Thy temples are like a piece of a pomegranate within thy locks. So far the words of our text. Christ commends the blushing of his church. First, her temples like a piece of a pomegranate. Second, her temples like a piece of a pomegranate within her locks. Christ commends the blushing of his church. First, her temples like a piece of a pomegranate. Second, her temples like a piece of a pomegranate within her locks. Thus, we have once again characteristic of the true church wherewith Christ says that he is well pleased. That is not just a natural characteristic, but it is a spiritual characteristic. It is something that is given. It is given unto that church of God by Christ himself. It is a gift. It is a gift that is flowing out of the mediatorial work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all that flows out from him belongs to that true church of God. And we have heard something about forgiveness, but also about cleansing. That is, the Lord also renews. He does not only forgive sin, but he also renews the heart. That is the beginning of salvation. It is a distinguishing characteristic of that true church. Why? Because there is not a man in the world that has an easy time to live under guilt. There is no man in the world that would not like to cast off that guilt. That is why we see that man is always pointing his finger in the other direction than himself. That someone else is always the guilty one. He would like to cast that guilt away from him. Thus, to feel guilt is not a distinguishing characteristic of that true church of God. But not all men desire to be freed, to be delivered from the commission of sin. No man by nature desires to live in sin. Thus, the deliverance from sin is not something that begins after this life. It is not something that begins for God's people when they are in heaven. No, that is something that begins already here below. The Lord begins to deliver His church from the greatest evil. And what is the greatest evil? That is in the committing of sin. Thus, it is the life of sanctification. And that life of sanctification that is all flowing, just like justification, that life of sanctification also needs to flow out, because that can never be done as the people. That can never be done in the strength of the church. Paul had to complain only about himself. No, that life of sanctification, everything that is for the people is all flowing out of that blessed mediator. It is all purchased by him. It is bought by him. It is paid for by him. And it is only awaiting that time that the Spirit of the Lord is going to apply it and bring it into the particular life of each one of God's children. Do we long for that? That the Lord would keep us, that the Lord would make our heart right, that the Lord would separate us from, no, not that we don't have to live in this world, but to separate our heart from the world. That he would take our heart, and that it would always be upon the things that are above, where Christ is sitting at that right hand of God. In our text, Christ says of his people, "Thy temples are like a piece of a pomegranate." Children, did you ever open a pomegranate? Maybe you don't even know what a pomegranate is, because it is not so common. But maybe then your mother can buy one sometime at the grocery store. Because, and then you need to open that pomegranate. Because here, it does not speak just about a pomegranate. But it speaks about a piece of a pomegranate. And if you will look on the outside, then a pomegranate does not show forth so much that is unusual. It is a pretty reddish-colored fruit. But now open it. Now cut it in half. And then you will get a surprise. Because inside, that fruit is very, very beautiful. Then there is white, and then there are blotches of red seeds, bright red seeds. And now Solomon here compares the sight of such a piece of a pomegranate to the temples, that is to the cheeks, that is to the face of a person. Did your countenance ever look like that? Like a piece of a pomegranate? Did your cheeks, boys and girls, ever look like that? Like a piece of a pomegranate, as you have felt the heat rising in your cheeks? What is that? Ah, you say, that is what happens when I am embarrassed. That is right. That is what happens when you feel shame. When your temples are like a piece of a pomegranate. So what is shame? What is shame? That is a certain pain that is not a physical pain, that is a mental pain, a heart pain, we would say, at the disapproval of others, other persons that are around us. Then we feel a certain shame, we feel a certain embarrassment. No, not at the disapproval of just anything that we do. Because if our heart does not condemn us, then there is no red in our cheeks. Then there is no embarrassment. And we do not feel any shame. But now if our heart condemns us, and we feel in our heart that our neighbor justly condemns us, then we feel shame. Then the red begins to rise. And that is a very uncomfortable feeling that we have. Then our temples become like a piece of a pomegranate, full of red and white blotches. That is not a good thing if we have to be ashamed of our life here on this earth before other people, because then our heart tells us that we do not live right. And thus we try to live in a way in which we will not be ashamed. On the other hand, we are living in a world, we live in a time that it seems that there is no shame anymore. That men can commit the greatest open evils, things that have always been shameful to men, and that there is not a single blushing of the cheeks. We can read what the Lord says about his own people. The Lord asked that question about the children of Israel. He says, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? And he answered it himself. He says, nay, they were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. Thus the Lord condemns his own people, that they could not blush. Can you blush? Can you blush right now? Can you make that red rise in your cheeks? Well, you say, I cannot do that. I cannot just do that. No, that has to come from something that is inside. That comes from a certain inward conviction. That comes from a certain inward feeling that is in our heart. Thus, the Lord condemns the fact not only that they cannot blush, but that that inward conviction, that that inward feeling in their heart isn't there. That there is nothing in their heart to make them blush. That he says that people, they are just hardened. That they commit sin in just a brazen way. And they are not ashamed of what they are doing. That is now the world that we live in. A world in which more and more man is not able to blush. And that is now what our children have to grow up in. And thus, parents, it is so important that we are pointing out to our children all of these things that ought to bring shame. And that our children are not used to all of these things, and that they are still able
to blush. But we don't want to go too far from home, because that does not profit us. So that question is also here about how it is with us, whether that red color can still rise within our temples. If we are truly ashamed of something, we don't say that, do we? We don't tell someone something at which we are truly ashamed. Thus, shame seeks to cover. That is a natural thing. It does not expose itself. If there is true shame, it does not expose itself willingly to another man. Thus, publishing our sin, we would say on the streets of Ashkelon, is not a mark of godliness. There are public sins which we confess here publicly in the church. Why? That is not to make it known. That is because it is known. That is to make it known that I am sorry for that sin, that I am ashamed of that sin, that I do not want to live in that sin. But when that sin is secret, then true shame will keep us from publishing that sin. And if we are publishing it, it is only a sign that we do not have true shame. All those private sins, they belong in our inner chamber. They belong before the Lord, because the Lord knows them all. And then with cheeks like a pomegranate, then we can appear before Him. And we can lay them before Him who is able to forgive us all of our sin. Thy temples are like a piece of a pomegranate. So Christ declares such blotchy red faces, cheeks, temples, to be very beautiful. He commends them. Because that is now a work of His Spirit. It is a work of His Spirit to make men ashamed of their sin. And Christ delights, because that is His Spirit, and that is a work that is taking place because of the purchase that He made. And thus He sees therein fruit, fruit of His own expiatory sacrifice. What He has done for His church, He sees His Spirit working. When He makes men to blush at their sin, the devil does just the opposite. He wants to take all that shame away. He says, young people, I've heard people do that. They will say, oh, such and such a wickedness. Well, we all commit that, right? Oh, then he has a desire that men would speak about it. He has a desire that it would all come out in the open, all that wickedness. And that there should be no shame in it anymore. Just the opposite. The devil is always doing the opposite of what that Spirit of the Lord is doing. But we said this is not a natural characteristic. Thus this blushing is not what the Lord is speaking about here. It is not speaking just about a natural blushing, because that can be in our character. We can have a very tender character. And that can be also in men of this world, that there is a blushing before one another. And then when we grow up in the church and we hear the commandments of the Lord, then we especially can be blushing in front of one another. Maybe you say, children, I do not want father to see me here. I do not want mother to see me here. Young people, the places where you go, the things that you do, the things that you are watching, you say, I want to hide it, and if someone will see me, no, I don't want them to see me. Oh, that can be with anyone in this world. But Solomon is speaking about more here. Because what does he say? He says, thy temples are like a piece of a pomegranate within thy locks. But that is our second thought. And we will sing first from Psalter 64, stanzas 2 and 3. Lord, to me thy ways make known. Guide in truth and teach thou me. And thou, my Savior, art alone. All the day I wait for thee. Lord, remember in thy love all thy mercies manifold, tender mercies from above, changeless from the days of old. 64, 2 and 3.
Thank you.
Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thy temples are like a piece of a pomegranate within thy locks. We have heard of this expression before. Thou hast dove's eyes within thy locks. What did that mean? Well, we heard that it meant that there was something that was partially visible, that was partially hidden. And now that is the same here. It speaks about this blushing face. That this blushing face is not completely visible to everyone, but it is hidden beneath some of her locks of hair. It is true, and it is partially visible to men, at least to men who are perceptive, that they sometimes can see it. But in general, this is hidden beneath her hair. And for the most part, it is not outwardly visible. And yet it is visible unto the Lord Jesus Christ. He beholds this red and white temple under her hair that men cannot see. Thus, what does it speak about? It speaks about an inward blushing. It speaks about a blushing before God. It speaks about a blushing that is in her secret life, about a church that is ashamed, not before men, but that is ashamed before the Lord, even when no one else in the whole world can see it. Thus this description of temples like a piece of a pomegranate within the locks, that is speaking about the truth, the genuineness of the feelings that are living in the heart of that people. Thus, it is not just merely an outward shame, because we can have an outward shame and then in our inner chambers, in our homes, where we are not seen by people, we can do anything. But here it speaks about something else. It speaks about a blushing before the Lord. And now that inward blushing in the heart that is here said to be beautiful, to be comely unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we have a distinguishing mark of that bride, that she is living for her bridegroom, who loves her bridegroom. And now Christ sees the beauty of the tender life that that bride desires to live, the tender life with himself, that she is ashamed to trespass against him. Oh, that she is ashamed at the very appearance, as it were, of evil against him. And that she is so careful that she will not offend him. Oh, that church feels shame in themselves, that no one else in this whole world can see. They may be busy with all of their work from Monday until Saturday and all the cares of this world. And then they come Sunday into that house of God. And then they sit there in their bench and they meditate a few moments, and then their cheeks and their temples, they become like a piece of a pomegranate within their locks before the Lord, because they are ashamed. They are ashamed of their life. They are ashamed of that carnal life. Or they say, what was it now in this week? What was it now for the Lord and my whole heart? And the Lord has been so good unto me. And my whole life that is not in the service of Him. And I do not show that in my life like it ought to be. Sometimes they make a decision. The bride of the bridegroom. She never asks her husband. She makes a decision and she forgets to go on her knees. Did you ever forget? You have to make a decision and you forget to go on your knees. And then there is a little word from the scripture. And then there is a psalm, a line that comes into your mind. And then your cheeks suddenly before the Lord, they become like a piece of a pomegranate. And within the temples, within the locks, upon the temples, within the locks of that people. Oh, thy temples are like a piece of a pomegranate within thy locks. Sometimes they are actually envious at the foolish. Just like Asaph, when they see the prosperity of the wicked. They see they are not in trouble like other men and like themselves. And then maybe they become weary of the trials. So sometimes groaning before the Lord to say, "Oh Lord, how long? All night, oh Lord, I make my bed to swim. Until when? Until they come into that sanctuary of the Lord." And then the Lord gives her for a moment to taste a little honey on the end of that rod of affliction. And when they come there in that house, oh, then Christ may see under the locks that those temples are like a piece of a pomegranate. They are flushing. And that is so pretty. That red and white color. That is so precious unto Him. And that renewed disposition that is within her, that is making her to blush. That is now that disposition that is given unto their people from His Holy Spirit. Sometimes they are fearful. The Lord withdraws a moment with His felt presence. Oh, then they think sometimes of the judgment. How will that be? How will that be when I have to stand in the judgment? Then she remembers former sins, the transgressions of her youth, vivid memories of things that come back to her that she has done. "Remember not, O God," she says, "the sins of long ago." Guilt returns. The law. Curse. She goes to bed with that. She gets up with that. Oh, she says, "I will be more careful. I will not add to this." And then that time is long. And He stays away. And she labors. She labors to please. She labors to satisfy. She labors to take away the breach. Yes, she labors for actually what she does not even know. "My sins are more than I can count. my heart has failed for grief. Be pleased, O Lord, to rescue me, O haste to my relief. And then the Lord comes. Then the Lord comes over. Then the Lord comes in that storm, and he appears with what? He appears with his grace. That is not the first time. No, he appears with that grace again. And then he says to her, why are you so fearful? Oh, ye of little faith. Then he reveals himself again by renewal to that people with that grace. Oh, that is as wide as the ocean. She sees that again. He brings that into her soul again with power. He comes close to her. He embraces her. He says, what are you doing at this mountain? What are you doing at this burning, fiery mountain? Like Bunyan says. Did I tell you to come to this place? And then he pushes back a little lock of her hair. And he sees temples that are like a piece of a pomegranate beneath her locks, O people of the Lord. What is it? It is the blushing. It is the blushing of that true church. That blushing that is taking place within her locks, that is commended by the Lord Jesus Christ himself, to him so precious, to him so beautiful. She makes so many mistakes. Oh, she does not live right. There are so many backslidings. There is so much sloth. There is a leaving him days without number. But there is also that it does not take very much to make that people to blush. That is now the gift of his Holy Spirit. And now such a spiritual modesty that is drawing to him. Oh, he loves to see it. His bride, with his temples as a piece of a pomegranate. It is drawing to him to appear to her, to commune with her, and to tell her that she is his own. Do you desire that, people of the Lord? More of that? Seek more to blush, and he will appear more. Congregation, it is possible that we come to that supper of the Lord, but that this blushing cannot be seen by Christ. That he sees blushing in the midst of the world, but he does not see any blushing within thy locks. Do you know how it is then? Then we deceive ourselves. Because there is so much blushing in the visible church that is not found within the locks. It is only found before other people. And what can we say? Then we can only warn that man looks on the outward appearance, but that the Lord looks on the heart. No one can give you that blushing. We cannot make ourselves to blush, especially within the locks. Why? Because it comes from a new principle. It comes from a new nature, which the Lord is giving unto his people. Oh, ask the Lord for that nature. ask the Lord to teach you to blush. On the other hand, when that color is within our locks, then it is not easily seen by men. Thus we cannot see in the visible church who all that invisible church is. Because that blushing that is hidden, that blushing that is secret, that blushing is appearing before the Lord Jesus Christ and before His Father. And it is not appearing unto men. And that is why that we need not to judge one another. The Lord does not need this outward confession to know what is in the heart of His people, because He sees the blushing within the locks. But now there comes a time that the Lord desires that people that may blush in this way, whose temples are as a piece of a pomegranate within their locks. Oh, then there comes a time that the Lord desires that that people would also make a blessed testimony before His church. He does not force that. No, the Lord draws. Is He not good? Is He not gentle? Is He not kind? Oh, the Lord bring every one of us unto that day. Everyone whose temples indeed are as a piece of a pomegranate within thy locks. Who knows that? Oh, you know that, and He knows that. And when that day may come, that also may be manifest within His church, oh, then there may be fruit upon that manifestation, that He may receive all the honor and all the glory. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, it is a few words, but it is Thy word. Wilt Thou teach us to blush? Make us ashamed before Thee, not only before men. And wilt Thou give truth then in the inward parts, and give us a walk in the midst of this world that is according to Thy desire. Lord, wilt Thou dismiss us with Thy blessing, bring us safely to our places in this evening, and help each one in the week to come. Keep in traveling us also, and we hope to travel for the institution of a new congregation in the East. Wilt Thou bring us safely there and home again, and make Thou all things well with all the afflicted and each one in the labors of our hands, the children at school. Give us to chew the cud, even as that clean sheep, that it may be for our profit. Forgive all that was amiss this day, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 415, stanzas 4, 6, and 7. Good and upright is Jehovah, in His dealings evermore. Sinners are by Him instructed in the way untrod before. 4, 6, and 7 of Psalter 415.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.